Tomorrow, April 6, 1975, will be the 145th anniversary of the establishment of the Church upon this earth in this greatest and final of all the dispensations. By direct revelation, we have been informed that tomorrow will also be the 1975th anniversary of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea. But this is also the Easter season. Last Sunday, we commemorated the anniversary of the initiation upon this earth of the universal resurrection. But this is also the springtime, when all of nature is being reawakened into new life. And I thought that inasmuch as this is a season of so many new beginnings, that I would like to talk to you about birth. And I don't mean the birth of Jesus, nor the resurrection, nor the reawakening of nature. I mean your own birth and the great possibilities involved in our own human reawakening. Henry Thoreau, an early American philosopher, once said that we should thank God every day of our lives for the privilege of having been born. And then he went on to speculate on the rather unique supposition of what it might have been like if we had not been born. Just suppose that you had never been born, or that your parents, or your brothers and sisters, or your children, or your friends had never been born. Just think of all of the excitement and blessing that we would have missed as a consequence. But what Mr. Thoreau may not have known was that one-third of all the children of God never were born and never can be born because they failed to pass the requirements of their first estate. We remember the unembodied spirits who appeared to Jesus in his day, who preferred the bodies of swine rather than not to have any bodies at all. And I'm very sure that if we could go today while we walk by faith and stand where we once stood, when we walk by sight, that we would be willing to crawl on our hands and knees through life for this tremendous privilege which we presently enjoy. William Wordsworth said that our birth is a sleep and a forgetting. We have one very interesting characteristic about the moment of our birth in that it is an unconscious moment. That is, nobody ever understands when he's being born that that event is actually taking place. And sometimes we don't find out about it until quite a long time afterward. Sometime we really never do find out that we've been born. I heard of one man say about his friend, he doesn't know he's alive. Very frequently that gets very near to the truth. That is, we sometimes don't know why we were born, we don't know where we came from, we don't know the purpose of life, we haven't any very definite program made up for just what we're going to do about it. Now, one of the very important things, the greatest accomplishment, in fact, of my life is that I was successful in getting myself born. And I'm just awfully pleased about that. There just isn't anything I can think of in the world that's more important than that. And after I'd been around for a little time, I made a discovery that one of the significant facts about that is that I had inherited two very wonderful people to be my parents. Parents who were interested in teaching me the principles of the gospel and helping me to make as much as I could out of my life. I'm just very grateful for my parents. We were pretty poor and we had a little trouble financially, but sometimes that's all to the good. Somebody has said that one of the most serious disadvantages that anybody can have in life is to have too many advantages. One of the great advantages of my life is my parents, and I'm very grateful for them. But then as I approached the eighth anniversary of my birth, I learned something else about being born that was very important. I was taught by my parents and my church teachers the philosophy of Jesus that one birth isn't enough. that everybody ought to be born twice. And so on August the 27th, 1911, I was born of the water and of the Spirit in exactly the meaning of that great command as given by the Savior of the world. And I came forth in a newness of life with a new set of possibilities. And then I had hands laid upon my head, and a prayer was offered in my behalf for the reception of the Holy Ghost. And I was confirmed by my father to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And from that moment until this, I have had the benefit of those great principles of righteousness and that great Spirit to prompt me, to help me to make of my life something near what the Lord would like to have me make of it. But since that time, I've discovered some other interesting things about being born. One of them is that nobody is limited merely to two births, that we can be born again as many times as we want to be, and each time we can be born better. In 1932, Walter Pitkin wrote a great book entitled Life Begins at 40, but that's ridiculous. Life begins every morning. Life begins when we begin. Someone once asked Phillips Brooks when he was born. And he said it was one Sunday afternoon about 3:30 when I was 25 years of age, just after I had finished reading a great book. And just think how many thrilling, exciting rebirths that we can have as we study the Holy Scriptures and as we fill our minds with the Word of the Lord and as we fill our hearts with the Spirit of righteousness. Walter Malone gave us a kind of poetic formula for this idea of being born again when he said, "Art thou an idler? Then rouse thee from thy spell. Art thou a sinner? Sin may be forgiven. Each morning gives thee wings to flee from hell. Each night a star to guide thy soul to heaven." Now, we've not only been given a star to guide us to heaven, we've been given every one of these great principles of the gospel. The church has been established upon the earth in our day. We've been given a prophet to guide us in these latter days. And we've been given the Spirit of our Heavenly Father himself to direct and inspire us. And not least among all of these, we've been given the tremendous resources of our own soul. William Wordsworth said, "The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere a setting, and cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness, not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home." And in conclusion, I'd like to share with you some words of inspiration that were written a number of years ago by a young man by the name of John Gillespie McGee. John Gillespie McGee was an American fighter pilot connected with the Royal Canadian Air Force who was shot down over London in the battle for Britain in the first part of the Second World War. Before going into the service, John Gillespie McGee had done the usual things that 17-year-olds do. And then after his basic training had been completed, he felt for the first time in his hands the controls of this power, these powerful engines, capable of sending this aircraft through space at stupendous speeds. And then feeling the exhilaration that came from doing well his part of the work of the world, he wrote his thrilling poem entitled High Flight, which is now found in the Library of Congress under the title of Poems of Faith and Freedom. And I share this with you because you're also engaged in a high flight. You're engaged in the greatest high flight of faith and freedom ever known in the world. And John Gillespie McGee said, "Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the sky on laughter's silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed to join the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you have not dreamed of, wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence hovering there. I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up, the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark nor even eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind I've trod the high untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. And that's the purpose of our lives, my brothers and sisters, that we might become even as God is. The greatest good fortune of our lives is that we have been created in His image and have been endowed with a set of His characteristics and possibilities. And it is our good fortune that if we keep the commandments, that we someday on some future Easter morning may be born again into His presence and live with Him in the celestial kingdom throughout eternity. And that it may be so with each one of us, I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.